Morning and welcome to our celebration of joy worship service. A reminder to everyone that no matter who you are and no matter what is happening on your journey of life, it is God who welcomes you here today, and so do we. We are so very, very glad that you are here. A special welcome to visitors. We're always happy to have visitors here at San Marcos Lutheran, and we hope that you can make yourself at home. Everyone is invited to take a moment and find the welcome cards. You'll find them in the pew racks ahead of you. And we invite everyone, visitors and members and kids and teens, to take a moment and fill those out. Pastor David and I will pray for you by name following the service. If you have a special prayer request, whatever that may be, we encourage you to put it on the back of that card. And we will include you in our prayer ministries as you would like to be included. Well, there are many ways we can grow in discipleship and fellowship in this congregation. I'd like to draw your attention to some of these. Of course, first of all, is the Parenting and Faith group that will be happening at 10:20 in the conference room. That's the little room right next to the office, and the door will be open. Next week, following the service, let's see, leaving here at, I'm not sure Pastor David will tell you, but next week, one of our associate members who is now going to be called to be pastor of Carlton Hills Lutheran Church, Reverend Andreas Tode, will be having his installation down at Carlton Hills. So all of you may have met him. He was here for over a year, helping out in many ways, and it is a very exciting day as he begins his ministry in a congregation in our synod. So that is next week, and if you'd like to talk about getting a carpooling, please contact Pastor David about that. We have a need. If anyone has any extra filing cabinets in your home, we need a couple of those to help organize the choir room. So if you have any of those you'd like to donate, please contact Pastor David. The adult forum's coming up next week. There will be one on a combination of the Gospel of Matthew and this practice divine reading, Alexio Divina, that we'd like to have you at least try a way of improving your friendship with Christ. So at 10:20 next week in Luther Hall, we'll have some time to discuss whatever is on your mind with the Gospel of Matthew or that ancient practice. And then the following week, it's blessing bags. So exciting. So it should be a lot of fun. And the kids will help prep it, but everybody leaving the service will be able to help put those together. And Tricia will be leading that. Thank you. Tricia, Jill, and others. Perfect. We have Ash Wednesday coming up on the 26th. So that will be at 12 noon and at 7 o'clock. 12 noon will be a spoken service, and the evening service will be sung. And then following that, we will begin our soup suppers and our Lenten services. So mark your calendars. We do have a sign up to help out with the soup suppers, and that will be beginning on the 4th of March. Wonderful time of community, wonderful time to hear what God is up to in the lives of the members of our congregation. So please plan to attend that. I think those are the major ones that we need to address right now, including information about the celebration of eternal life for Mary Fawcett coming up soon. Jesus, thank you that you long to heal us, that you long to help us, and that you are willing to show us things about ourselves we might not want to see. Give us your grace. Give us your presence. Give us the knowledge of your love for us as we open our minds and hearts to hear your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's gospel comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew. You have heard it said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are still on the way to court with him, or Your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It is also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The Gospel of our Lord. I have already broken a bunch of these commandments this morning. I did not make it past the first stoplight without the words, you fool, coming out of my mouth. And I do take issue with Jesus' words that none of us can turn our hair white or black. I've been turning it L'Oreal number 9 blonde for a number of years. But this is a tough scripture, isn't it? It's a really tough scripture. I bet you all wish that you were preaching on it today. The hyperbole alone in it makes me shudder. This is a passage that many of us would like to skip for a lot of reasons, and it is a passage, when taken out of context, can bring on that ungodly emotion of shame. There is a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt, you did something wrong. Now you need to ask for God's help, ask for forgiveness, and do what you need to do to make it right. Okay, that's what forgiveness is. Then you're done, you're finished, it's over. Shame is different. Shame is this idea that you are wrong, that you are fundamentally flawed, and that you will never be good enough. Shame is not of God. So let's get this straight right away as we go into this really challenging passage. The point of Jesus' words today are to help us, not to hurt us. We need to trust that this is true, that you are loved, you are forgiven, you are chosen, you are God's child. Redeemed, loved, saved, all of this you are already. And now we can boldly go into some passages and words of Jesus that are really, really hard to hear. Are you ready? So let's start with a little bit of context first. That's really important at this time. That's also why we're having these monthly meetups to talk about the Gospel of Matthew, because there's things that need some explanation. Well, today in the traditional service, we will have this passage paired with a portion of Deuteronomy, which will be Moses' farewell speech. Moses is standing on the mountain, and he is putting before the people of Israel all sorts of laws, but this kind of summarizes it, what we'll hear in the traditional service. So the Lord says through Moses, as he's standing on the mountain speaking to the people, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. So choose life. And choose life by loving the Lord your God and obeying him and holding fast to him, for this means life for you. Follow this and get life. Choose not to follow it, and you are choosing not to live. So today we have this parallel. We see this a lot in the Gospel of Matthew, Old Testament things, and then Matthew showing that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this. We have Jesus at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's again standing on the mountain, and he is giving an intensified interpretation of the law of Moses. Not negating the things that Moses said, but intensifying them. And my goodness, just intensifying them. Before we go any further, though, we have to discuss the issue of divorce. Divorce is painful, it's heart-wrenching, it's the worst situation many people have ever been through. Because it's like a death when both people are still alive. Who hates divorce the most? Who hates divorce the most? Who do you think? People who've been through it, right? That's the people who hate it the most. So this text, if not handled very, very carefully and understood from a contextual point of view as well, can send people reeling. It cuts to the core, and it produces again that ungodly, not of God emotion of shame. Shame is not of God because we can't do anything about it. Guilt that prompts us to respond and receive God's love and forgiveness. Those are not the same. We want to address, say, shame? No. We're going to listen instead to what Jesus says to us today, the Jesus who loves us. But it's really important to understand that in the Old Testament, and again, in Jesus' time, the woman was the property of her father and then the property of her husband. This is still the case in some more traditional societies, but it was definitely the way it was at Jesus' time. And to make it worse, going back to our own holy scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, this is what the law actually said about this, writing a certificate of divorce. If a man takes a wife and possesses her, and she fails to please her, and she fails to please him, or he finds her obnoxious, actually says that. He can write her a bill of divorce and send her from his home. Now, a woman being sent from her home when all of her male relatives are her only social security means that she could easily be homeless. And what do women who are homeless frequently have to do to survive? Sometimes they turn to prostitution to make it, right? So Jesus, in intensifying and clarifying this law of Moses, is saying, no way. Do not throw her away. Do not treat her like trash. That breaks the fundamental law of trust and of relationship. It's a matter of equality. It's a matter of fairness. And for the woman, it could be life or death. Similarly with this statement about love. It's about Jesus confronting the idea of objectifying women, taking what's not yours. Jesus is not criticizing natural instincts of attraction, but the greedy, insatiable emotion of lust. In both cases, Jesus is not only taking a look at the outside actions that are happening, but is really getting to the heart of the matter. What is our intention? What is going on in the secrets of our hearts? That's what Jesus is talking about today. Now, I got to say, this is a tough text. It is really, really hard. And the only way I can fathom getting down to find the grace in these passages, because the grace is here, it's here, we're promised, is to spend enough time with it. Enough time to let the defenses go down, to let our justifications subside, and so that we can hear the words of our friend, the person who loves us most, Jesus. So I am really grateful that we happen to be doing this divine reading practice this year. If you haven't tried it, I encourage you to try it. It can take a passage like this, which sends you like wondering if you can ever set foot in a church again, right? To actually going, wait a minute, Jesus loves me and wants good for me. So just a quick recap of this divine practice of divine reading. In Latin, it's called Lectio Divina. You read the passage through, so you kind of know what it's about. And then you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, and you wait for a word or a phrase to stand out to you, trusting that that word or phrase is a place that God is going to meet you in a special way. Then you take that word or phrase and you reflect on it in your life as it is, the things you're facing, the things you're worried about, the things you feel upset about. And then you take whatever you've discovered and you give it back to God, you respond to God in prayer. Here it is, God, it's unfigured out, but here it is, and I admit that it's true. And then you rest, because you trusted God, and now you're letting it go, and you're going to let God do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Sounds great, doesn't it? And it really works. So, we have information on it, by the way, in the back, and again, we'll talk about it next week during the adult forum. And if you are on the Facebook page, which we invite you to join, the San Marcos Lutheran Facebook page for reading the Gospel of Matthew together, we had this text this week. Oh, lucky us. So this is at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, all the blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I just finished that part, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I like you so much. And then I sat down one morning for my morning cup of coffee with Jesus to improve my friendship with Jesus, and I opened up my Bible, and there it was, this passage. And since in divine reading we only take a short little bit at a time, I looked ahead and saw I'd be dealing with this stuff for well over a week. Joy. It took me 4 or 5 times of slowly reading this first part of this passage to begin to even see any grace. But then finally it emerged. Almost like miraculous, it came up between the words and the pages. You have heard it said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And as I pondered it and pondered it, it finally got clearer. Jesus, you really, really want us to be reconciled with one another. You really, really want us to live in harmony with one another. Like, it's incredibly important. Like, don't miss this. Practice forgiveness. Practice letting go. Make amends. Keep your side of the street clean. Do it. And you will live. I could not see that right away, but it finally emerged. It's like Jesus was sitting there saying, Carla, can't you see it? This is good for you. Forgiving is good for you. Letting go, being at peace, it's good for you. Humbling yourself enough to admit you're wrong, it's good for you, and it gives you life. So, Carla, stop justifying your behavior. You know you're doing this. And in the process, you're hurting yourself. So finally, after the time of letting my defenses go down, I could start to hear it, and it truly became like I was sitting down with my best friend who in a joking, laughing way would go, you know what happened last week? Yeah, you did it again. But it was said in love, and it was said in a way that I can do something about it. The words that really came out to me were, but I say to you, and they came out so much that I had a whole page in my journal of B-I-T-S-Y. Jesus had a lot to point out to me that day. You have heard it said, it is normal to be frustrated with your young adult children. But I say to you, examine yourself. How have you made this situation worse? Are your expectations realistic? How could you better understand what they're going through? And how can you set limits and boundaries with love? You have heard it said that women of a certain age go through some hormonal changes that can make them easily upset and angry. But I say to you, how are you taking care of yourself so that you're not so raw? And have you asked me to help you put a guard on your tongue so that you don't make situations worse? It actually became kind of fun. You have heard it said, but I say to you, B-I-S-T-Y. And the words of Jesus, my best friend, pointed out a few things that I didn't want to see about myself, but in a calming, joking way. A way that I could hear it without being bowed with shame or thinking that I'm just never going to measure up. And that is good news. But the good news keeps on getting better, my friends. Because this best friend is also there to show us a way out of our mess. My best friend also said this, that once you've done it, once you've made amends, once you've admitted your part, you really, truly get to let it go. You really, truly get to rest, leave it in God's hands, and know that you have been heard and that God is acting on your behalf. And so we go into passages even like this unafraid. We take them with a grain of salt. We keep our eyes and our hands intact. We sit down and we listen to our best friend, who loves us and wants to give us life.
Let us pray. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Let your love cast out our hatred. Let us be instruments of reconciliation. Let us look for ways that you are calling us to be the best we can. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks for your good creation. Help all of us to be faithful caretakers of the water, the soil, and the air, the plants and animals, all creatures great and small. Lord, in your mercy, be with all those who suffer pain or illness, the ones we name out loud and silently in our hearts. Surround them with your healing, your comfort, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Prince of Peace, we pray for peace and unity in this world that you so love. We especially remember the people of Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Palestine, Israel, Syria, Yemen, South Sudan, and other troubled lands. We pray for all who suffer as a result of wars, the children, the innocent victims, the military on all sides. We pray for chaplains at home and abroad. Let us all work for that day when swords will be beaten into plows and spears into pruning hooks. Lord, in your mercy. For Christians around the globe who come together to be strengthened and renewed in worship today for daily lives of service, bless our bishops Elizabeth and Andy and all leaders of your church. Continue to richly bless the mission and ministry of San Marcos Lutheran. Let this be a place where all are welcomed into your amazing grace. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the life and the light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining into our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal that refreshes this heavenly food. We may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through Christ, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, we pray that your agenda of shalom will be our agenda as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, earth as in heaven. Our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Here at this table, Jesus offers himself to everyone, the humble and the proud, the joyful and the grieving, the pious and the profane, those who have faith and those who only long for faith. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace until life eternal. Amen. We pray the prayers of our children. We're thankful for puppies and for our family, for our friends, for life and for God. And we ask God for the plants and the air that we may have things sustainable. And we thank you for sunlight, for photosynthesis. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, because you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Go in peace. Be the light of Christ.